We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
If you found $100 on the street, would you pick it up or keep walking? Obviously, you would take the money. So why do you, sports fans listening to this podcast, keep picking winners and then not betting on them? That's why I go to MyBookie. It's fast, it's easy, and they pay when you win. Let's face it, where you're betting is just as important as who you're betting on. Do the smart thing. If you're going to bet this football season, bet with MyBookie. Did you know that you can bet on games after kickoff? If by the second half it looks like your bet is going to lose, you can always just take the other side. And if you're the kind of guy who likes to bet a little and win a lot, try a parlay. If all your picks come through, you'll multiply your winnings. And no matter how you choose to bet, the NFL season is the best time of year. Join now and MyBookie will actually double your first deposit. Use promo code BLUEWIRE, all one word, to activate the offer. That's promo code BLUEWIRE. Visit mybookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid.
Hello and welcome to the Eurostep podcast. My name is Kane Pittman and I am joined by Ty Windisch as always. And Ty, we spoke a little bit about the FIBA World Cup last week, but it is going to start to get really interesting now.
Yeah, it is. We were just talking very briefly before recording here about the kind of wild nature of this second round of the tournament. You know, teams who are 3-0 obviously have a, you can argue, deserved a huge advantage over the 2-1 teams left. Every team only gets two games now until the final round to decide if they get it or not. And I think we were talking our nations, respectively, USA and Australia getting in 3-0. Close games for each of them. Tough for Turkey, I will say. And we'll probably get there. We'll get there. But big advantages for those two nations. Less of an advantage, unfortunately, for Giannis's Greece, which comes in at 2-1 after a tough loss to Brazil. And a lot of trash talking from the Brazilian side after the game, very conveniently. But it'll be tougher for Giannis, unfortunately, to make the final tournament, or the final round of the tournament, I should say.
Yeah, no question. And just for so people know, so when you play the three group games at the start, and this is only something that has come in at this World Cup, it's the first time that they've done it. Not only do the wins and losses carry over to the next group, so what happens is the top two from one group and the top two from another group merge, form another group. You will play the two teams that you haven't played before, and then the top two after those two games will move on. But like I said, not only do the wins and losses carry over, but the point differential does as well. So it becomes really complicated for teams that weren't able to win all their games in the group stage, and certainly relating to the USA, they were very, very lucky and against Turkey, that Turkey couldn't make some free throws. So for the Bucks that are still or that are playing in the World Cup, I just mentioned Turkey. So Turkey did get eliminated last night. So Ersan Ilyasova's run at the World Cup is over. But Chris Middleton, Brooke Lopez, Giannis, and Thanasis are going to move on. They actually go into the same group now. So as you said, it's going to be really tough for Greece if they can't win both of these games. And that obviously is going to mean that they're going to have to beat the USA. That game is at 7:30 a.m. Central Time on Saturday. USA versus Greece. So that's going to be a lot of fun. But yeah, just a lot of scenarios right now. And really, before we get into what we have seen, this becomes an absolute must win for Giannis and Team Greece.
It does, and it gets complicated. You know, I'm looking here to try and figure out the absolute best case for Bucks watchers. Obviously, you want Greece to go and you want Team USA to go. It's unfortunate they have to play each other now. So I guess if Greece beats Team USA and Greece beats the Czech Republic, they're up to 4-1. And then USA obviously needs to beat Brazil, but then lose to lose to Greece. So they're 4-1. And then Brazil needs to lose out, I think. Yeah, so they need to lose to the USA and Czech Republic. It's complicated, man. I think the chances, it's fair to say now, the chances of watching both, all the Bucks, you know, Giannis, Thanasis, and obviously Chris Middleton and Brooke Lopez, move on, seem like they're pretty slim right now. I don't think there's odds on it. Like, I keep seeing, unfortunately for the Brewers, the percentage getting lower and lower every day for their chance of moving on. I don't think they have that out yet, but I would imagine the chances of both Greece and Team USA going on are tiny.
Yeah, I definitely would agree. I think that you're going to see the USA are going to move on. Like I said, they escaped against Turkey, and we will talk about that. But for Greece, even if they do win both games and Brazil, well, that's a scenario. I mean, the Greece could win both games, obviously, and then Brazil could lose both, and then Greece would move on. But again, it all starts with Saturday morning and the fact that Giannis and Thanasis need to beat Team USA. And that's not out of the question. Certainly, Team USA has looked vulnerable. So they are beatable, but that's a tough scenario. And really, for this stage of the tournament, we sort of spoke about it. I kind of just wish that with 16 teams left in the tournament, in the World Cup, you just made it knockout style from here and had a bracket rather than getting to the final eight before having your quarterfinals. I think that once you get through the group stage, make this thing knockout and just have one-off matchups and not put yourself in a situation where you have these weird tiebreak situations that could occur, because I just think that's not that shouldn't be part of a tournament like this.
Yeah, I agree, especially with the way that, you know, teams are drawn from the first groups, two from each to this one. It just sets it up so it can be very, I think weird is the right word. It's interesting. It's going to be, you mentioned the USA-Greece game. I think fair to say more important for Greece than Team USA. I mean, if Greece loses from here, it's really not looking good at all. But people keep saying, I've seen this sentiment a few times, you know, on Twitter and in some discords and stuff. Like the Greek team could really beat Team USA. I think they could. I really just have not seen consistent strategy or consistent performances from the Greek team that really inspires me. I mean, I know Turkey isn't exactly a powerhouse. I mean, they got absolutely smacked by the Czech Republic to get eliminated, which was unfortunate for our friend Ersan. But and USA struggled against them. But that team. I don't know. Do you think there's a good chance that Greece could beat Team USA at this point? As much as I sat here and worried out loud about Team USA losing, I just don't know if Greece is going to be able to team that does it.
No, I probably agree with that. It's going to be really, really interesting to see how Team USA defends Giannis in the paint. Obviously, Miles Turner has been starting. Brook Lopez has become more and more in the rotation as games have gone on. I don't think that has surprised anyone. He's still not playing a major role in the team, but he's certainly that second center now. So we know that Brook Lopez is obviously, with the Bucks last year, one of the better paint protectors in the entire NBA. And now he will get a chance to go against a guy that he's been against a lot in practice. He knows what Giannis is going to try and do. So it'll be interesting to see if Team USA can slow them down. But I tweeted, I was watching one of the exhibition games, and I think they were playing the Dominican Republic, actually, Greece. And I said that, I mean, Giannis was just so dominant. It was incredible that it just was so clear that the opposition had nothing they could do to stop him. And I tweeted something that I don't think this Greek team can do much if Giannis doesn't play 35 minutes and dominate. And clearly, I mean, there's passionate fans out there that were, quick to try and remind me that the rest of this Greek team was great and they got this player and this player. But I think we've seen in the tournament that this Greek team is Giannis. And if Giannis doesn't play well, as he didn't against Brazil, they didn't win the game. And I wouldn't say that Brazil is a powerhouse in this tournament, but with Giannis not being at his best, they couldn't get the win. And even last night, they just scraped home 103-97 against New Zealand. So and they did control that game for the most part. So when I say scrape home, that's probably a little bit much. But the point is, they're not exactly cruising through these early games. And I think Giannis himself hasn't been at his best. 24 points, 10 rebounds and 6 assists last night, a couple of steals as well. So he certainly was out to make a statement after the Brazil game. But I just don't think that this Greek team, compared to some of these other nations out there, I mean, there are some really, really, really strong teams when you think of France and Serbia. Obviously, USA, Australia is playing really well. Lithuania, who Australia just beat last night. I mean, there's a lot of really, really good teams out there. And I'm not sure that Greece, outside of Giannis going crazy, has the depth to match those teams.
Yeah, and I think the USA, I mean, the advantage that Team USA has still, even though it's less so, is that, you know, typically you get just more big skilled players. And I mean, we've seen in the NBA level, I mean, if you throw a lot of big bodies at Giannis, I mean, it's not going to stop him. He's too good to be stopped, but it'll slow him down a bit. And, you know, between the centers on the team, which we've seen just briefly a couple of two center lineups now that Pop has experimented with, and just some of the longer forwards like Harrison Barnes and even Chris Middleton, there's just a lot of athletic size that Team USA has to work against Giannis. And, you know, other players on the Greek team, aside from even, you know, Tanasis, but just it's going to be difficult for him to win on his own against this team. Even if Team USA is a little disjointed, which it is, I think we're seeing right now, it's, you know, when the offense isn't Kemba Walker or just taking over, it's they kind of have struggled to figure out what to do exactly, which is going to be problematic in the latter rounds. But I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see this this U.S. team play some of the other even more talented teams. You mentioned a few of them. I mean, especially France, Spain, Serbia, and Australia, who obviously we saw in the friendlies, but in the real action. I don't know. I'm excited to see how they match up against some of these other teams. But I don't think the stage that Team USA is in right now, the group they're in, I should say, I don't think any of these opponents worry me too much if I'm rooting for Team USA.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that. I think things are going to really get interesting once we get down to the final eight, and that's when it's going to start to get pretty wild. But for Team USA, they won last night very easily, or this morning, I guess, for you. They won very easily 98-45 over Japan. Probably the most convincing they've looked since coming together. And, you know, obviously Japan's not a great team, but I still think that it was important for Team USA to have a game where they just dominated, because they haven't had that. That's obviously what we're used to seeing with Team USA. And coming off that game against Turkey, maybe that was the wake-up call they needed. I'm not too sure, whether that will prove to be a positive thing for this team. But Chris Middleton, again, he's really starting to find his rhythm a little bit. Last night, obviously, the minutes were spread. The shots were distributed pretty evenly because of the way the game was playing. But Middleton, again, playing really major minutes now. And I will go back to the Turkey game, because I thought he was really good in that game. But last night, he plays 21 minutes, has 9 points, 6 rebounds, 6 assists, and a couple of steals with that as well. So, yeah, he did a lot across the board. And Brook Lopez, who I touched on, is starting to play a little bit more now. Played 17 minutes last night, had 7 points, 4 boards. and an assist there as well, and did hit a three. So Brook Lopez hit his first three with Team USA altogether against Turkey, and he hit another one last night. So I think the longer the tournament goes on, the Bucks guys are actually starting to look better and better.
Yeah, and I think that's good. It was early on a little disappointing to see some of the lines coming over from the Bucks playing for Team USA, especially. It was nice to see Ersan ball out coincidentally, but it has been encouraging, and I think, you know, it could say a lot about sort of, you know, I don't know, I don't want to be too homery here, but just that these are guys who are, you know, they play winning basketball, and I think it would say a lot if at the end of the day with Team USA, you know, the further they go, Chris and Brook Lopez continue to take sort of bigger roles here and be more important. It would kind of prove that, you know, these are the kind of winning players who, I mean, I just said it, they win games, and that's obviously the number one goal for the Bucks this season. So it's kind of nice, even though I wouldn't be too concerned personally. I know it's not, I don't look at it as a real negative, but obviously you prefer to see the guys do positive stuff for their national teams.
Yeah, and it was, and the Middleton one is interesting because I know that people get frustrated, or Bucks fans, I should say, not people, and Bucks fans get frustrated a little bit that we've seen over the years that Chris Middleton has started the season slow. He's done that. That is a thing that has happened pretty regularly over the years, and that was one of the reasons why I thought perhaps playing this World Cup is going to be really good for him, because, you know, when you think that the way this tournament is going to play, it's going to lead directly into training camp, and it's going to lead into the preseason for the NBA. So Middleton is in some respects, but potentially shaking this rust off now playing for Team USA, which is a kind of a wild thing to say. But I think we're starting to see that. His shot is starting to look good. That, you know, was probably the concern early. A little bit of carelessness with the ball as well, but certainly against Turkey, that was a Chris Middleton we know. He was getting to the spots that he likes. Yes, he was shooting some of those mid-ranges, but he was knocking down threes as well. He was, you know, making some really nice passes. And I think that it's important when you look at the box score from last night that, as I said, some carelessness with the ball. He was having too many turnovers in those early games. Back in Australia and also early in the World Cup last night, 6 assists, 0 turnovers. He just looks better. He looks like he's comfortable now. He looks like he's got a feel for the FIBA game, which is a little bit different. And the big thing is his shot's looking good as well. So Middleton had 15 points off the bench, led Team USA in that Turkey game. As I said, he had 9 last night. So we're starting to see the Chris Middleton that we know, that we've seen with the Bucks last year when he was an all-star through the playoffs, when he obviously played well. So I think that, if anything, when people look at the negatives of players playing in a World Cup and perhaps being worried about different things that could potentially happen, maybe this for Chris Middleton could be a really good thing.
It might be. And it's it'd be great if Chris didn't start slow this year, just because I've already, and I'm sure you have as well, seen a bunch of the stuff related to his contract and how he's overpaid or whatever else. So just giving less fuel to those fires would be great, although it shouldn't be something that really affects Chris Middleton.
I think it's going to happen anyway. We know that.
Yeah, I mean, it is.
That's coming no matter what. Unless the average is 35, 8, and 8 on 75% shooting from 3, that's going
to
happen.
I'll take that, though. I mean, he might do that against Boston. That's a Boston line for Chris.
It's true.
But the other thing that I was going to say, I agree, obviously, he has looked better, and that matters. But I do worry. It's just hard to pull many meaningful trends in general, just because of how wildly the competition level changes from game to game. I mean, it would be really concerning if anyone didn't look good against Japan. No offense to Japan as a nation, but just not the best basketball team in the world. Clearly, as evidenced by being eliminated. It's just tough to look at, you know, oh, this, you know, now he's shooting better. Well, now he's playing Japan, so I think in this stage now, you get more of the legit teams. If we see this trend continue against Greece and then going forward, it would just mean more to me. I'm a little hesitant right now. He did play well in the Turkey game, but I think a lot of guys looked really good in the Japan game, unfortunately for Japan.
Yeah, that's a fair call. And if you're talking about opposition, though, we can probably transition into Giannis a little bit here. As I said last night, 24, 10, and 6. And this game, I didn't see this game from start to finish. I was covering the Australia game, and it was they sort of crossed over. So, I wasn't watching this one as closely as I have the first two for Giannis, but certainly following the box score and had the stream in the background. And 7 points in the first 2 minutes, including a three, a nice-looking three for Giannis, which was a good thing to see. It was very clear, and I had a few people speak to me about, obviously, New Zealand's chances against Greece, and I pretty much said, you got no chance, because Giannis responds to losses with ferocity, and he responds to losses where he didn't play well even more ferociously, and I think we saw that right from the start. And I think the first 2 minutes of this one was enough to see that New Zealand probably weren't going to be able to win that one.
Yeah, nothing like a good Giannis revenge game. Always fun to watch. Probably not very fun to watch if you're on the other team or root for the other team. But one of those where you could just tell that – and this is again, kind of relates to the talent level thing. I mean, it didn't feel like that team really had a lot they could do to stop Giannis. And again, when he plays a certain way, no teams really do. But – it'll be obviously a lot tougher against Team USA, but nice to see him find the most success he's found in this tournament, really run up the points a little bit. I think in general, it feels like there aren't a ton of individual high-scoring performances, unless your name is Bogdan Bogdanovic or Ersan, I guess. But it was nice to see Giannis put up, I think, 24 in that game and really get his scoring together, and just obviously his most complete game as well, which is comforting to see. After an up and down start, I would say, to the friendlies and then the first round.
Yeah, Giannis did certainly have some struggles against Brazil. And just one thing I want to touch on, and I know I spoke about it on the last podcast, in terms of Giannis appearing frustrated at times, and that was in an exhibition game against the Dominican Republic. I just get the feeling when I watch Giannis right now that he is so determined to do everything and do everything perfectly and make sure he carries like Greece to the win. And he's not being selfish. He's making the right play. He's making the right pass. But it just looks to me like he is pressing a little bit too hard to make everything happen. And we know how passionate he is about playing for Greece. We know that he said he would give up his MVP for a gold medal at the World Cup. This is undoubtedly a huge goal of his. He's playing with his brother, really, for one of the first times that, you know, for his country. So, again, we know how much this means to him, but I just am not as concerned as some people you see out there on the internet with the way Giannis is playing, because to me, it's just emotion right now that is maybe, I wouldn't say getting the best of him, but causing some of those issues that he had against Brazil, because I think once he had a couple of foul calls go against him early in the game, and once his shot wasn't falling, he started to press a little bit too hard, and then I think that the results went against him after that for that reason. But I don't think that that's a bad thing. I don't think that's a sign of any type of issue with Giannis or concern moving into the season. I just think that he hasn't played in a major tournament for Greece before. And I think he just wants it so bad right now that he's trying to find that balance between what is too much and where's the right spot to be for him in terms of how hard he's pressing.
Did you see the Jonathan Charks article on The Ringer about him in international play?
I did not.
So I can see if Giannis read this, I can see why he was another reason he might have been pressing a little bit. Basically, Charks outlines how good Giannis is and how much of an impact him and his brothers could make for Greece. And then kind of segues a little wildly, in my opinion, to basically laying out that part of Giannis's eventual GOAT resume building could be beating Team USA with Team Greece and coming out on top of tournaments like this. And it would mean so much more than the gold medals that the American guys get, because they're basically insured it. You know, bringing a nation like Greece to get one would be such a more momentous thing. And it was interesting. I had to think about it a little bit. I don't really think about Giannis legacy stuff that often. Probably because he's, 24, 25, 24, I think right now, right? Until December.
Yeah.
24 years old, so it's a little early to take that big of a picture look at it, but it was a little interesting. I mean, I could see, I don't know if this game in particular would be big enough. Maybe it would, but you know, if Giannis led Greece to a gold medal, especially in the Olympics, which I think was Chark's point, was the Olympics, not the World Cup, which would be even more difficult to do, because you imagine Team USA will have a better squad then. But I suppose that would be a pretty meaningful, special thing. And it would be, certainly, if you look at a basketball player as more than just their NBA resume, it would be one of the highest accomplishments you could achieve.
Yeah, no question. And I think particularly when you look at where Greek basketball is at right now, and this team is one that has a lot of veterans. There's a lot of guys that we've seen play for Greece for a long time. Nikolaithis obviously is a guy that has been around forever, and a bunch of other guys. Papanikolaou, there's a heap of guys in this Greek team that have been around. So I think when you watch this team now, if and obviously they're still in the tournament, still a chance. If they beat USA on Saturday, they give themselves a real good shot of moving on. If Giannis was able to win, I would say any medal, not just gold at this tournament, it would be an amazing achievement. And I'm sure that he would not settle for anything other than gold. But, considering the team that they have, I just think it would be an unbelievable achievement. And, yeah, probably something that looks pretty good on his resume, particularly if they beat USA on the way through to that medal. But this is going to be one of those things. When you look at guys that don't play in tournaments, I'm just not sure, certainly not for quite a while anyway, given his age. I'm not sure that Giannis is ever going to pass up the opportunity to play for Team Greece, no matter what that means for his body, no matter how fatigued he is. He's just a guy that wants to compete. And I'm sure that as these tournaments go on, and maybe it's the Olympics next year, or maybe it's the next tournament after that, I think that he will find that balance, and he'll understand the FIBA game better, which is obviously very unique. And this is something that I commented on after the Brazil game. I think that it's been a real adjustment. There's different rules in this game. Guys are clearly being able to be even more physical with him than they are in the NBA. He's not getting some of the calls he would normally get. And that's leading to, as I said, a little bit of frustration and maybe forcing some stuff. Certainly the other night, I think it was much improved last night. But yeah, this is all a process for him. But there's no doubt that he's got his mind set on winning a gold for Greece at some point, and probably right now.
Yeah, knowing Giannis, it is right now. But there is usually a process to follow. As our friends sort of in Philadelphia would say, you got to trust the podcast. Or the process, excuse me.
Just, you should trust the podcast as well, people. We just want to make that clear. Trust the podcast.
Trust the podcast as well. And speaking of trusting us, you know, here on this podcast, Kane and myself, all of the Blue Wire podcast hosts, you know, a lot of us use Harry's Razors. And if you visit their website, you can check out all different shave sets and face care products. There's all sorts of options. You can join us and the rest of the 10 million who have tried Harry's. Claim your special offer right now, today, sometime, soon though, by going to harrys.com/bluewire. Harry's founders were two regular guys tired of getting ripped off and paying for overpriced razors. Who can relate? Everyone. Harry's makes quality, durable blades at a fair price, just $2 per blade. And if you don't love your shave, let them know and they'll give you a full refund. This summer, you can refresh your wallet and your face, two important things to refresh, with a Harry's trial set. It comes with a weighted ergonomic handle for an easy grip, a 5-blade razor with a lubricating strip and trimmer blade for a close shave, and rich lathering shave gel that will keep you smelling great. Plus, I said and like that was the last thing. How foolish of me. There's so much. There's also a travel blade cover to keep your razor dry and easy on the go. Listeners of Eurostep, the Eurostep, can redeem their trial set at harrys.com/bluewire. Make sure you go to harrys.com/bluewire to redeem your offer and let them know that we here at the podcast sent you to go take advantage of this great offer. And while you're on the internet, if you're selling something online, you know that getting your orders out can be a real pain in the keister. That's why you need ShipStation.com. It's the fastest, easiest, and most affordable way to manage and ship your orders, no matter where you're selling. Amazon, Etsy, or your own website, ShipStation brings all of your orders into one simple interface. Gets your orders out quickly, helps you save money on shipping costs, and ShipStation will keep your customers happy. And right now, YourStep listeners can try ShipStation free for 60 days when you use promo code BLUE, B-L-U-E. There is absolutely no risk. You can start your free trial without even entering your credit card info. ShipStation works with all the major carriers, including USPS, FedEx, UPS, and even Amazon Fulfillment, so you can compare and choose the best shipping solution for you and your customer. No wonder that ShipStation is the number one choice of online sellers. You'll ship more in less time with the best rates available. All you need to do is visit ShipStation.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in BLUE, ShipStation.com, then enter promo code BLUE. You know what to do, Kane. Make ship happen.
No, it's a work of art. As always, Ty, that was some good stuff. I can't stress enough how much I struggled with the ad reads when you were working that one or two podcasts. It was brutal. It was almost as brutal as Ersan's shooting night last night. And I didn't mean that, but that just came to me. That was I'm pretty happy with that. But Ersan, unfortunately, had a monster first two games for Turkey, and as you know, we spoke about a couple of times, Nelly lifted Turkey to what would have been a historic win for Turkish basketball if they could have got over Team USA. I don't really care who's playing for Team USA. That would have been a big deal for them. And in the end, it was free throws that cost them. They missed four straight free throws with under 10 seconds left. Couldn't get the win. Ersan missed a three at the buzzer in overtime. This was the other night. But last night, Ersan finished 0-for-9 from the field, just 6 points. It was an unfortunate end for him and Team Turkey, and they could not get the win over the Czech Republic. So Turkey is gone, but Ersan, through three games, despite that rough night last night, still finishes with averages of 16 points, 9.3 rebounds. He had 23 and 14 against the US the other night. He really led this Turkish team from the front.
Yeah, it was disappointing that between the USA game and then the Czech Republic game that Ersan and Cedi Osman couldn't seem to get hot at the same time.
Yeah.
I think in the USA game, Cedi comes away with 15 points, which isn't terrible, but that's in 38 minutes. And then I know in the last game they got eliminated, Cedi had 24. You know, if he can pour in 24 in that USA game, that's probably a different story, even with those missed free throws. But obviously, then Ersan with the bummer 0-for game from the field. It is disappointing. I mean, I don't know how people viewed Turkey before the tournament. I feel like they wouldn't have expected that close of a game against the U.S. I think it would have been an upset for them to get to the second stage here, the second round, I should say. But it certainly would have been fun to watch, you know, Ersan lead his country to that much closer to a medal there. You know, it kind of makes me think, I mean, obviously, this is a very complicated issue I don't want to expound on too much, but unfortunate that because of all sorts of complicated reasons, not all of the Turkish basketball players can play on this team. Obviously referring to Enes Kanter, who, despite not being known as an incredible defender, certainly a player of his caliber offensively on the glass would have provided some help to a Turkish squad that has kind of a surprising amount of NBA firepower as is.
Yeah, no, they do. They've got a strong roster, and I think it really speaks to you know, how strong these international teams are getting. And a lot of these teams have played together a lot, and the style that they play outside of America, particularly the European teams, they just play Team Barcelona. They play really well, and I think Ersan here, it raises some eyebrows, I guess, from some people that haven't seen Ersan play for Turkey before. This guy's a leader on this team. He's played for Turkey forever. I mean, we know he's played in the NBA forever, but he has been an absolute stalwart of this Turkish national team. So for him, he comes in, and it's a completely different role. In Milwaukee, he's there. He plays his role of rebound, shoots some threes, chips in here or there. For Turkey, he's one of the lead guys, and he generally thrives in that role. And I think we saw that the 23 and 14 against the USA was just a monster game from him. He had another double-double in the first game. So for Ersan, the point is that this guy doesn't have any fear about playing against anyone because he's played European basketball before. He's played in the NBA forever. When he looks at this Team USA team, there's really probably no one on that team that Ersan is intimidated by or concerned about playing against. And I think that showed, and that's why having these NBA veterans in these FIBA teams becomes so vital, because they don't feel the pressure that perhaps some of the younger guys would. And again, I think Anderson Varejao against Greece had 20 and 10, not even in the NBA anymore, 36 years old. He still had that monster game against Giannis. So I think that, again, it's the FIBA game is just so unique, but I think it points to some of these guys that have been around the national teams for so long that it really shows their experience in those moments.
Yeah, it does. It's going to be interesting to see how that shakes out, you know, over the rest of the tournament. It feels like a lot of the teams that USA could see if they advance. So I'm going to do this on the fly, so it's going to be terrible radio. But USA is in Group K, so they're going to see someone from Group L, I believe, in the first round. And the teams in Group L, if you look going forward, are France, Australia, Lithuania, and the Dominican Republic. So I think we chatted off air a little bit about the fact that it'd be tough for Lithuania to get in now. I don't think the Dominican Republic will. So probably France and Australia. So could see these two teams facing off sooner rather than later in this tournament. But obviously Australia has NBA vets, Andrew Bogut being the oldest. But, I mean, Patty Mills, Joe Ingles, Matthew Dellavedova, a lot of guys who certainly aren't going to go at anyone with any sort of a fear. I think fear is the last thing that Team Australia plays with. And then France has been through this a lot, even without Tony Parker. Still, Rudy Gobert on defense isn't going to be afraid of anyone, even if Giannis will put him on a poster once in a while. I mean, obviously, he doesn't have to worry about Giannis from Team USA, but just a lot of stalwart NBA players. And then just because someone isn't in the NBA, or even if they never were, I mean, Varejao was good and he used to be, but there are a lot of these players who I think American fans who don't follow the overseas teams aren't going to know, but they might come to know pretty soon. I mean, there are some really good players out there, especially in the context of FIBA basketball within their teams that you might never have heard of. They might never have played in the NBA. They can still make a hell of an impact on the game. I think that's going to become very apparent in the teams Team USA has to play against, especially in the third round when we get to the knockout stage.
Yeah, no, like I said, it's once we get through these first two games, and I think that there's certainly going to be some really unlucky teams that are going to miss out through, in my opinion, what the stupid rules are, that there's going to be tiebreakers. That's the way this is going to end up, and there's going to be some very unlucky teams. Once you get to that final eight, the knockout stage, it's going to be must-watch viewing from there. It's going to be a whole lot of fun. But we've sort of gone through everything, but before we wrap up, for those that didn't see this, and there's some crazy FIBA rules, and I want to ask how you feel about two in particular. The first one is obviously the goaltending rule. So in FIBA basketball, goaltending, you still can't touch the ball if someone has a shot and it touches the backboard first. You can't swat the ball away then. If the ball's on the way down, you can't swat the ball away. But once the ball touches the rim, you're allowed to do whatever you want with it over the cylinder, which is just, it's insane. It's kind of fun to watch, though. So that's the first rule, and that came into full effect in the Greece-Brazil game the other night, where a Greek player was, and I can't remember who was shooting the free throws. And the Brazilian player, as soon as the ball touched the rim on the free throw, the Brazilian player jumped up, swatted the ball into the stands, and that was the game. The game was over. So it's just a wild way to see a game finish. And the other one is the unsportsmanlike foul, which is, it's a crazy rule. It's almost like the clear path foul on steroids. If a fast break is about to start, and it could be in the backcourt, there can be players ahead of you, and you grab a player or you commit an intentional foul, it's two free throws and possession straight away. So that has changed games already, just from and it's a lot of the times it's NBA players that take what would be considered a smart foul that results in just a huge you know, issue for that team with two free throws and also sideline possession. So, I mean, what do you how do you feel about these two rules? And you know, would you add any of those two, bring them into the NBA?
Maybe look at the clear path one, because I feel like right now I kind of refer to the clear path rule as like an urban legend that doesn't really happen that often, even when it feels like it's pretty applicable. Maybe not to the degree that the I forget what it's called already, but the FIBA version is. But as far as the goaltending, I see a lot of people really like this, and I can't bring myself to be in favor of that rule at the NBA level, just because, I mean, it just feels like it would curtail a whole lot of offense. I mean, imagine the Kawhi shot that beat the 76ers, the bounces. And after bounce one, I mean, Embiid wasn't around, but you know, Ben Simmons just jumps up and smacks it out of there, and that's game. I mean, I actually feel like it takes a little bit away from the game. You know, I enjoy shots that kind of bounce around and then go in. I mean, maybe Philly fans feel differently and wish that rule was in place, but I think it's hard enough to make an NBA three-pointer. Even though some guys in the league, like Steph Curry, will make it look easy, it's not easy to do. It's not easy to shoot a good percentage. And now if you can just have centers stand by the basket and watch it bounce once and then just grab it, I just think it takes a lot away from offense. And really, I mean, maybe in FIBA it's a little different, but the NBA there's going to be a lot of guys on the court at all times who are 6'10" and very athletic. I think it would come up a lot. I think the game would look entirely different and scores would probably be a lot lower.
Yeah, it's interesting because I think it is really fun. I think it also could get really old really quick if that was a common rule. I spoke to when the guys were in Australia, I spoke to Brooke Lopez and also Aaron Baines about the rule and asked them whether they like it. And they were both like pretty into it. They thought that it gave them a chance to have more involvement or make more impact plays on, you know, defense and offense for that matter, when you can tip in balls. So that's the other thing. It's not just a defensive aspect of this. You can obviously, if the ball's on the rim, you can throw it down and it's not going to be offensive interference. So they were kind of into it, but I do wonder how quickly, because the other thing is that these guys are not used to this rule. So there's plenty of times where you're watching and it could probably happen and they could probably go up and get the ball and they don't. And I think that's just through habit. Of not, you know, being tuned to do that and to go up and get the ball. So I do wonder if you were looking at an NBA season and these guys figured out that that's what you can do, and then every single play there's just big guys flying up and swatting balls away. I think that the rule might get old pretty quickly. So I do kind of agree. And the unsportsmanlike foul for mine, I don't. And I see what you mean about the clear path foul, but I just think that this rule is too strict in the way that it really forces you. I mean, it does take away the intentional foul, but I mean, sometimes we see, and we see it a lot in the NBA where someone might apply, Giannis, for instance. I mean, he's the king of this. He does this all the time where he'll just give away a little frustration foul and stop the play. And it can be under the opposite, under your own basket. And then straight away, right down the other end of the floor, two free throws and possession. It really can be game changing. I'm not sure I really like that one. So I think FIBA basketball is so wild and I enjoy the chaos while it's here. But I probably agree with you that I'm not sure if I'd be bringing them into the NBA regular season.
I do think there could be some rules that could change. I've always been in favor of a running clock in the NBA because I think it would really speed up games. And I just enjoy the fact that then it becomes less of a start-stop, you know, more orchestrated coaching game and more of just a feel. Your players really have to know just what to do in a lot of situations automatically. I like that a lot. I don't think the NBA will ever get there. Maybe. We'll see. But that would be my personal favorite sort of rule change, I guess. And I know a lot of people are paranoid about the challenge, but after watching a lot of G League basketball, I can tell you it really did not come up that often at all.
Interesting. That could be another. This could be another podcast rules. It's interesting. There is a lot of you know, complaints that people have or problems they have, and maybe we could throw it out to the listeners one time to give us their rule changes and we can go through and have a fun podcast like that before the season starts. But like we said, FIBA World Cup now through the first round, moving into the second round, well after today, but our guys, the Bucks guys are through the first round. So Like I said, Saturday morning, 7:30 a.m. Central Time, you're going to see Giannis Thanasis take on Chris and Brooke. This game is a one that means a lot. As we said, potentially means more for Giannis and Greece if they lose. They are essentially going to be knocked out of the World Cup after one more game. So an absolute must win for Giannis. This should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it should. And I mean, I guess it's not super relevant specifically because not all those players are former Bucks now, but shout out to Australia for qualifying for the Olympics by being the team from Oceania region to make it the farthest.
Yeah, it was a big day yesterday for Australia. They're obviously Lithuania, long-time rivals of Australia, a really good basketball nation, a big win for Australia. Aaron Baines, 21-13, and Patty Mills is just, I mean, these guys, it's so funny. I've always said this, but these veterans, and you touched on a few of them, but Bogut, Ingles leads the whole World Cup in assists. He's averaging 9 assists a game. It's just ridiculous. He was 1 assist off the first triple-double ever in World Cup history the other night. But, yeah, these Australian veterans, I don't know, they go to another level when they play for Australia. It's a lot of fun. But we might have another podcast coming up soon previewing an Australia-USA game. So I think we'll probably definitely be back next week to recap these and see who's left in, whether it's just Chris and Brooke, whether Giannis and Thanasis are still in the tournament. But we will be back next week. I'm sure there's going to be some more crazy results in the World Cup. And Ty, you got anything else to add? Because this was ended up being a pretty busy week of basketball.
It did, which is fun. I like when international basketball kind of picks up in this dead zone here. But aside from that, I don't really have anything to add. And also, of course, that thank you so much for listening, dear listeners. Be sure to subscribe on your platform if you aren't already to always get the new episodes. You know, rate and review on said platform as well if it allows it. Obviously on iTunes, those are big for us. Really, just boost the platform of the show and the whole Blue Wire network, of which we are happy to be a part. And then spread the word. You know, tell people about the show, the Eurostep. Going to be picking up soon, I'm sure. Probably record just more episodes and just much more to talk about in general once the NBA season gets closer and then starts up again. We're getting close, so get ready for that. Subscribe, tell your friends, write it down, send people letters. People still do that? I don't know. But thanks again for listening, and we will catch you next time.